Welcome to Art on the Air. We have a new show coming into the Harold Stevens Gallery. It opens on Wednesday, April 23rd from 6 to 8 is the reception. It'll be on view through May 12th. It's called Fogbound by Gianni. I have him right here in the studio. We're going to talk about him and his artwork. Welcome.
This is Gianni Pradhanwangasui. I'm a visual artist, a filmmaker, and photographer. And I'm very excited to present, Fogbound, my first solo exhibition. I've never put on a solo show before, so this is very exciting. The body of work comes from a project I embarked on about almost 2 summers ago now, which is kind of crazy to think about. But the whole concept of the show is based around approaching photography as a meditative exercise. Upon returning home, and home for me, one of my homes is Sikkim. It's a state in the northeastern part of India that borders Nepal, Tibet, and Bhutan. Mm. And it actually used to be its own independent kingdom up until 1975. Mm. So it has a really interesting history before India annexed the state and becoming a state of India. I grew up there from ages 9 through 15 before I moved to the States.
And what brought you to the States?
The school that I went to there was an international school, and the principal of the school is actually half American, half Sikkimese, and he's the one who kind of opened up the possibility of going to school here. He's the one who sort of recommended I take a look at some schools here, and through his sort of connections, kind of exposed me to what the world was like out here, and I applied to this little private school a little north of Boston in the town of Beverly. And so I ended up going there 10th through 12th grade. And so I graduated high school there.
Wow. And then you just graduated from Clark.
That's right. Yeah. And so I spent the last 4 years and now onto my 5th year in Worcester. I went to Clark University and I studied screen studies there. Yeah. And I minored in studio art with a focus on photography.
The part of the meditative exercise was about your taking the pictures, or is a somebody that comes in to see the show, is that what?
Yeah, I would hope that it happens both ways. So I'm very sort of process oriented. I really like to focus on different ways of creating the art. It's almost like that's the most important thing to me. Mm-hmm. Is the process kind of informs the project itself. Yeah, something that I really was using as a tool was photography in order to sort of meditate on how my relationship with home had changed, because it had been about 6 years since I had last lived in Sikkim, sort of become an adult here. And so I feel like the way that my relationship with home had really like become more, there was more distance between me and the way that I connected with not only just the landscape, but the people and just sort of the atmosphere there. I feel like it's almost about returning to a home that doesn't exist anymore, because although it's the same place, I've changed since leaving, and the place itself has changed and the people there have changed. And I really sort of picked up the camera and looked through the lens as a way to sort of like ground myself in the present moment, no matter where I was, sort of on the street or in the woods, to really take that opportunity to look at the space around me and to approach it with a meditative sort of mindset. So for example, I wouldn't look at a chair or a water bottle and sort of say in my brain, sort of, I'm photographing a water bottle or a chair. I wanted to kind of go beyond that and almost to look purely at the sort of form of what I was seeing, rather than sort of labeling it as a chair or a water bottle. I would try to turn that part of my brain off and almost look at it as light and shape and form rather than an object.
And I also saw that there's going to be a film on Sunday, May 11th.
Yeah, so I haven't quite decided what I'm going to be showing yet. My primary sort of profession is a filmmaker. I write, direct. Actually just returned from Seattle, traveling to my first film festival ever, and that was such a wonderful experience. I went to this film festival called the National Film Festival for Talented Youth, and I met some incredible people there, got to show my film. And this the sort of biggest project that I've worked on to date is this short film It's semi-autobiographical, and it was my thesis film from graduating from Clark. It's called Moving Room, and it's a little bit about, based on my experiences as an international student in high school. Because my high school was in a boarding school, I ended up living with a number of different host families. And that was a very interesting experience that I didn't quite get to process until I was in college and kind of had more distance from it. So I kind of delve into that experience of living with multiple families and sort of navigating the idea of what home means. And so there's definitely like a pattern within my work where I'm exploring my sense of home, because my parents are also from two different places. Mm-hmm. As I was saying earlier, I grew up in Sikkim from the ages of 9 through 15. And prior to that, I was actually in Mauritius, which is where my dad is from. Very different place than Sikkim. Sikkim's kind of like in the Himalayas. Mauritius is like a tropical island. Wow. In the Indian Ocean. So it's like almost polar opposites.
Huh. And then you come to the United States, which yes, is completely...
a whole new other space. So I feel like, yeah, home has always been something that has been unfixed for me. It's been sort of fluid and constantly evolving, but also in multiple different places. And that's something that when I was younger, I struggled with a lot. I kind of felt that I was missing something, or that I never quite fit in any of those one of those spaces.
Well, that seems like the normal reaction. Yeah. That is pretty extreme, you know.
Totally.
So Moving Room is the film that you showed in Seattle.
That's right.
And do you think you'd definitely show that? I think you should show that May 11th.
Yeah, I think that's sort of my plan. I also work on a number of other sort of micro films, as I like to call them. Mm-hmm. They almost function more as exercises in sort of getting to practice different forms of filmmaking and playing with the form, because that's something I'm very interested in doing. Yeah, and Moving Room is similarly not a sort of traditional narrative film. Although it has a sort of narrative backbone, I like to often incorporate elements of experimental film into the story to sort of express the ideas that I'm trying to convey in a more experiential way rather than a representational way.
Well, I've heard all good things about you from Stephen Dorado. Did you have him as a professor?
Yes, I love Stephen.
Everybody loves Stephen.
Yeah, Stephen, actually, it's funny. I didn't end up taking a class with him until it was like my third photography class, I want to say. But yeah, we really kick things off amazingly. I feel like he's been such a great mentor in helping me sort of navigate the world of photography specifically. But he also works on a couple of like short films as well. So that's something that we bond about, just like discussing film as well as photography and the ways in which they're different, but also similar. I actually wanted to talk a little bit about my gender identity as well. So I am a non-binary person. So I identify as non-binary. And that's kind of something that I sort of had an exploration of my gender in college. And something that I really appreciated about being at Clark is that it almost felt like a bubble in a sense that can feel sort of removed from the rest of the world, but I think it can really have positive impacts as well. I think a lot of people, me included, felt really safe to be able to go on that journey of discovery and self-exploration. So yeah, I think that I sort of discovered that understanding gender as a social construct maybe prior to Clark, but I never quite sort of applied that to myself in a way, and sort of felt more free to do so because of the sort of environment that I was in and seeing other people empowered to be able to do that for themselves, and more dialogue around that opened. And it's really given me a sense of freedom that is actually, I feel like, integrally linked to my sense of home and cultural identity as well. I know I was saying how I sort of struggled with the idea of where home was at a young age. And I think it's kind of funny, but I came to have a more sense of peace with it once I started exploring my gender identity. Because once I sort of realized the ways in which I was conforming or sort of performing gender, it kind of gave me the capacity to realize that that's something that applies to my cultural identity as well, where I don't quite sort of think of myself as embodying sort of very masculine traits and growing up as a boy in some ways. I feel like there are just certain forces around us that sort of elicit different ways of behaving or performing. And I never quite felt comfortable doing those things. And that's kind of what sparked my sort of self-discovery in terms of gender. But when that sort of opened for me, and that I found sort of solace and peace in being able to identify myself as non-binary, that I didn't have to sort of conform to certain ideas of what it meant to be a man or a woman, that then opened up in terms of my cultural identity.
And how did that work out with your artwork? I mean, did it open up things more for you there?
Totally. I think that has kind of become the crux of most of what I think about when I'm creating my artwork, that it can be open, it can be fluid. And this is where sort of the room for experimentation comes in as well. It's that the sort of form that I'm exploring is reflected in my identity, that I don't need to sort of adhere to certain conventions, that I can sort of dream and live outside of that. And I find myself working in a very similar sense when I'm working within film or even photography. Before that, I'd just love to talk a little bit about the poster. I've been wanting to work with a friend of mine who's a graphic designer for a very long time. He's also originally from Sikkim. I think now he's based in Kolkata. His name is Aloran. Our conversation's very interesting in creating a poster for this, because it's an interesting task of, like, you don't want to show the artwork before you go see the show, in a sense. It's almost like if you show a trailer where you show, like, pretty much the entire movie.
Yeah.
It's like one of my pet peeves. Can be so frustrating to, like, have that revealed to you.
Yeah.
And so we played around with a lot of different ideas, and sort of the language of graphic design too. That's the experimentation in this case, was we wanted to float around the idea of not having any text in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I feel like most artworks at galleries that I've seen have sort of labels that kind of describe the artwork, sometimes as entire, like, statements. And at the very least, there's sort of the name of the artwork and the materials used, or the form in which it's presented. But we talked about sort of how to embody, right, like, the process through which I was photographing, and how to sort of carry those same philosophical ideas into the presentation of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly, the idea of not having any text in the room came up, because that's something I was consciously sort of trying to avoid myself in the process of photographing.
Mm-hmm.
So that became a very clear through line. And then that over carried on to the poster design, where we wanted to play with graphic design, which is one of the key elements of graphic design is typography.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about the ways in which it's at once a functional art form, in that it serves a very clear purpose of, like, being able to read something.
Yeah.
But we wanted to kind of experiment with the form of that at the same time. So we ended up adopting this new movement of typography called actually a typography, where it's, I think they describe it as where abstraction meets typography, which I think is really fascinating.
Mm.
And the whole intent of a typography is to prevent you from being able to immediately read something. So it sort of takes a little more digging into to be able to decode the font. And so the font itself is embedded into the main photograph on the poster that spells the title, Fogbound.
Yeah, that's what I could see after I looked at it for a while. And it did have a heavy feeling, but then the lightness, like a hopefulness too, to it. That's what I felt when I saw it. But Fogbound, tell me more
about
the title.
Totally.
What that is trying to represent.
Yeah, it's actually had multiple different titles over the course of me working on it for the last 2 years. But I eventually settled on Fogbound because I think it encapsulates a number of different things that I've experienced upon going home. First of all, I usually go home during the summer when we have sort of a longer break. And funnily enough, those months of, like, July and August especially, that's the monsoon season back home. And so, as you can expect, there's tons of rain and, like, and by extension fog. That's to me, that became the only season that I was sort of experiencing home in. Yeah. And so it almost became inextricably linked that this is the only version of home that I've been returning to. So that was really integral to sort of the aesthetic quality of the work itself, that it has to do with this very specific season. Mm-hmm. And so fog naturally became a physical phenomenon that the work is all sort of in line with. There's definitely a lot of sort of fog in the photographs, but it also became a visual metaphor for my relationship with home, where there's almost an added layer of fog between me and home, that over time there's been more distance and there's more sort of elements between me and home. And I kind of wanted to encapsulate that in the work as well, where you're tangibly experiencing home, except through a medium almost, that there is an interference, that there is this layer of fog that exists there. And then the latter part, the bound part. So apparently I didn't know that fog bound was a word, and I was doing some research to try to figure out what the title for it should be. But fog bound almost has a double entendre, because fog bound, I think, is actually a nautical term for when ships get stranded at sea and are unable to sort of navigate through the ocean when there is an intense amount of fog. And so it becomes about being stuck in a sense. And that's something that for me has been true, where home is at once stuck in this one season, in this one perception, where I'm not there very often. And so it became about being stuck in that fog, but also the word bound by itself sort of has a connotation of direction to it, of going somewhere. And so it's almost like a juxtaposition of the two meanings, where it's you're at once stuck in the fog, but you're also headed somewhere. And that's sort of the idea behind the title. So yeah, I sort of used the process I was exploring the project with, and again, trying to carry those themes over into hopefully having the sort of viewer experience a similar thing to which I was experiencing when I was back home. So the idea really is, like I was saying earlier, that we don't want to have any text in the gallery, so that you're really able to contend with just the visual and to get lost in those visuals specifically. And my hope is that people who walk into the gallery feel inclined to sort of enter a meditative headspace themselves by removing that the text is one part of that. The other part of that is that I'm working with two incredible musical artists, and I think this is partly because of my work in film. I love to collaborate with other people, and so to me, and sound is also very important in the way that I work. Photography is often a medium that doesn't involve that, whereas film does, and I feel that it almost adds another dimension to the experience of the work. I'm working with a New York-based artist, Winter LeBlanc, and a Sikkimese-based artist, Abhibyanjana Tatal, and together, the idea is to create a sonic sort of landscape for the show, where you are sort of immersed in the world of the sounds. Field recordings are being made by Abhibyanjana to sort of document what it's like to be in Sikkim. While I'm not there, oh, wow. She is. Yeah. And so it's almost like the idea is to listen to the sounds of the landscape, but have them be altered to a certain degree. And so I'm very excited to be collaborating with them, and I hope that the space is welcoming and conducive to that form of meditation. My hope is that people will even feel free to sort of sit cross-legged on the floor and observe the photographs that way and just take it all in with the sound.
Well, thanks for coming into Art on the Air. I'm really looking forward to seeing your show. Gianni's show will be up from, it opens on Wednesday, April 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. is the opening reception, and it will be on exhibit through May 12th. It's going to be a film on Sunday, May 11th down at the Harold Stevens Gallery at WCUW at 910 Main Street. So check that out, and thanks for coming in. This was really interesting.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.